Hi, I'm David Young. I'm a senior minister for the North Boulevard Church in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and also a co-founder and board member for Renew, a network of like-minded churches wanting to renew the teachings of Jesus to fuel disciple-making around the world. And I've been asked to give just a short narrative about disciple-making movements, particularly in the Global South. I've been asked to do this because North Boulevard has become actively involved in a number of disciple-making movements, especially in Africa. And our commitment to disciple-making movements is much bigger than that. So we're looking forward to a great future of seeing entire people groups come to King Jesus before He returns. Let me tell you just a quick story about how disciple-making movements have been working. The ones I'm familiar with are across sub-Saharan Africa, mostly in West Africa, although they're spreading eastward quickly. And they start with the work of Jerry Trousdale. So Jerry Trousdale is one of the members here at North Boulevard. He's the author of a couple of books, including Miraculous Movements and The Kingdom Unleashed. Jerry came to us several years ago, and he came with a great vision that coincided with a vision that we had already been nurturing. Jerry once did mission work in the country of Sierra Leone in West Africa in the 1970s. And by his own telling, by the time he left Sierra Leone, there wasn't a whole lot of visible results to show. He moved to Southern California, where he became a student at Fuller University for the purpose of getting a doctoral degree in missions. But the Arcadia Church of Christ called him and asked him instead to become their lead minister. He took him up on it, but he asked him to pray for Sierra Leone. And I just want to say, out of the prayer movement that they started in the small Arcadia Church of Christ way back in the 1970s, something so miraculous, so astonishing has occurred that I'm not sure you'll even believe it. Every week, for 30 years, the people in Arcadia have been praying for Sierra Leone. Well, Jerry's career took him in different directions. He ended up in Nashville working as a vice president for Thomas Nelson Company. When God began to call him and say, "Jerry, I want you to go back to Sierra Leone," he moved instead to Murfreesboro, helped with a church plant, and nurtured there the vision of starting churches back in Sierra Leone and maybe sponsoring people to go. On one of his trips over, in order to explore what was happening in Sierra Leone, he met a man who had planted six churches, Shadonke Johnson. Shadonke had worked really hard to plant these six churches. It had taken years to do this. But the two of them struck up a friendship, and eventually Shadonke would come to the U.S. In fact, it's a fascinating story. Shadonke adopted a young boy who had been seriously injured in the Civil War of Sierra Leone. Shadonke came to the U.S. in order to receive surgeries for this young boy. Over the course of several years, the two of them ran into a man named David Watson. David Watson had been practicing Matthew 10 across India with phenomenal results. He had come back and was speaking at a church in Murfreesboro on how to do a disciple-making movement. Jerry and Shadonke went to the presentation, and as they listened, they simply couldn't believe what David was saying was true. So they asked him for some time afterwards, and as he explained what they were doing, they looked at one another and said, "Well, that might work in India, but it would never work in Sierra Leone." And David challenged them and said, "I challenge you to plant hundreds of churches using this method." Over the course of some training and some study in the year 2005, Shadonke went back and decided to spend 6 months trying to see if the methods of Matthew chapter 10 would be effective in Sierra Leone. Within those 6 months, he planted more than 12 churches, and all of a sudden, a movement sprang up. Jerry, Shadonke, and numerous other individuals began to see that disciple-making movements not only are real, but they're the very thing that Jesus came to launch. Now, you're probably asking the question, what is a disciple-making movement? There are a lot of definitions, but the bottom line is simply this. A disciple-making movement occurs when every single member of the church feels as though he or she is empowered and expected to make disciples of everyone who is around them. And then when they disciple the next person, that person also makes disciples. So typically there's a rhythm to it. They'll pray intensely. In fact, disciple-making movements don't occur unless first there's a prayer-making movement. So first they pray intensely, "God, where do you want us?" When they get an answer from God, they usually go in often with some sort of access ministry. Perhaps they start a school, or maybe they start a soccer team, or maybe they dig a well or something like this. But these are not social justice projects, at least not in the Western sense. They're only used as access ministries, looking for someone whom God has already called to come join them in the movement. So, third, after starting the access ministry, they look for a person of peace. This is someone whose heart has already been prepared by God. Oftentimes, the person of peace has already had dreams and visions about the arrival of those who go out from the disciple-making movement, and they're expecting them to return, expecting them to come before they even show up, before they even know what they're coming for. When the person of peace begins to hear the word, they immediately go out and begin to work in their social networks, bringing other people. And this leads to one of the sort of the fourth step of these disciple-making movements, which is they do oftentimes what's called discovery Bible study, where individuals come together, they allow themselves to hear what the Word of God has said, and then they expect one another to go obey it, and they hold each other accountable to obedience. And then they ask the question, with whom will you share this? And so individuals go forth from these discovery Bible studies. They share the word with all their family members, and then they're so excited that God brings miraculous results that they bring their family members back to the next Discovery Bible study. And typically, within a couple of Bible studies, entire families are baptized into Jesus. Then they instill within those who are being discipled the same desire to go do the same for others. So it becomes a domino effect. It is exponential. So one person can bring two people, but two people will bring two more each, which is four people. And you can see it becomes exponential, so much so that the last number I heard, this movement, which again is connected to various other ministries, ministries such as New Generations and Final Command Ministries and New Harvest Ministries, but all total, this network has resulted in something around 70,000 church plants and as many as 1.6 million baptisms, including over 500,000 former Muslims baptized into Jesus. And when we get asked the question sometimes, but is it real? Is it sticking? I want you to know that many in our team have already gone over and investigated. It's not only real. The miracle stories you hear not only are happening, it's amazing to actually watch them happen, but the profound commitment of the disciples you see in this movement will really change your life. They've had hundreds of martyrs. And you have to ask yourself the question, what kind of faith does it take for a Muslim living in a village whose tribe has declared that anyone who converts to Christianity must die? What kind of faith does it take for someone to be baptized from that village? And you recognize these aren't light decisions. These are very serious, sometimes deadly decisions that people are making for the purpose of calling Jesus. Once enough disciples gather together, typically that number is anywhere from 10 to 20, they become their own church. And so when we say 70,000 churches, the average size church may only be 15, 20, or 25 people. But to put that in perspective, in the world of the churches of Christ here in North America, 55% of the churches of Christ in North America have 34 members on average, which means that a church of 20 or 25 people is really not all that uncommon across the world. But this accounts for so many churches, and it also leads people to believe that the ordinary member can go plant a church. And so one of the most extraordinary things that you'll see in a disciple-making movement is just how many people not only want to make disciples, but actually feel empowered to go plant churches. So here's what I want to do. I want to show you just a real quick narrative of some of the church planters that I met when I went in November of 2018, and just let you see the kind of spiritual faith or courage, faithfulness, or here's a better word, the audacity they have when every single believer believes he has the right or she has the right and the responsibility to go make disciples and plant churches all over the world. So just watch this little narrative with me and see if you're not amazed at what God is doing. So this is Shadanke Johnson, and he's the leader of the New Harvest Ministries there, which is really sort of the backbone of so much of the disciple-making movement that's occurring in Sierra Leone. Shadanke has been a follower of Jesus really all the way back. His father grew up a Christian. His mother was Muslim, but since then, Shadanke has baptized his mother into Jesus. She now actually leads their prayer ministry. Shadanke is one of the most phenomenal leaders I've ever been around, a great man of prayer, a very humble man, very strategic man, and a man who takes so seriously the Word of God that it just appears to come out of every pore he has. And one of the delights of working with Shadanke is hearing him up at the crack of dawn, sometimes at 4 or 5 in the morning, out in the yard, praising and singing to God and offering up his prayers as he prepares for the day. So Shadanke is sort of the grandfather in a lot of ways in Sierra Leone of the movement that I'm going to describe to you. And I'm going to show you some images. I want you to know I've changed the names and I've covered a few of the faces because many of these individuals are in contexts where it's just not good to have their faces and their names associated. And in a few cases, some of them are going to such dangerous places that we wouldn't want their face shown at all. So let's just take a look at some of the ordinary people who believe that planting churches and making disciples can be done by anyone. Now, I'll start here. This is Roger, and he's one of the group leaders. In fact, he's been with Shidanke for a number of years. He's overseen the planting of so many churches that nobody really knows how many churches he's planted. Even the driver of our vehicle on our trip explained to me that you can't drive, you can't sweep the floors, and you can't cook in this movement unless you're also making disciples. And in his case, he's actually planted two churches. Peter, whose face I've covered up here, has planted churches in the world's most dangerous places. In fact, without saying too much, Peter actually has lost friends who were martyred in his presence in some cases as he goes into the most hostile territories on planet Earth to plant churches. This is Aaron. He's a university president there in Sierra Leone. He's actually planted two churches himself. Elijah is a disc jockey at one of the local radio stations. He's planted one church. When we were there, three different soccer coaches received the Planted Most Churches Among Teens Award for 2017. To put that in perspective, they had 3,000 people show up at one of their church planting events, and they had to limit the number to people who had planted five churches or more and their family members. So limiting the number to people who had planted five churches or more, they still had 3,000 show up. This is the dentist. He actually has planted several churches from his dental chair, and he laughs about how fun it is to have someone in his chair with their mouth totally closed up, and he is able to witness Jesus to them as they sit there in the chair. This worship leader at one of the local churches has discipled more than 1,000 individuals. This is a CPA for the local clinic. Sarah, she's planted one church. Aliyah here is leading a DBS in a Muslim crowd. She's only started this Discovery Bible study only a month or two before we got there. Within a couple of months, she will have planted also a church. Daniel is a zone leader who has overseen the planting of hundreds of churches. One of the brothers who's kneeling in this particular church actually came in to one of the largest churches there in Bo in Shidanke's movement for the intention of spying out where to detonate a terrorist bomb. Instead, he was met at the door with someone who began to study the Bible with him. Now this former terrorist has planted 10 churches. This is 11 generations of believers in one three-year-old church. So going from the right to the left, the woman on the right, she discipled the woman to her left, who discipled the woman to her left, all the way down. In 3 years, there are 11 generations of believers in this church. Uma leads a DBS here among animists. Within a few weeks of my taking this picture, she had planted a church. When I asked in this village who planted this church, all these people came forward. This is Shaka. He's only 19. He just planted his first church. Jacob has planted two churches. This is Ruth. She actually has planted one of the largest members in the movement, 250 members strong. Edward is a zone leader. He's planted so many churches, no one knows how many. Judah, in this picture, only plants churches where there are no roads in Sierra Leone. So far, he's planted 10 churches. Haji is blind, but he's planted two churches so far. To my right is Jamil. He's planted five churches. To my left is Ahmed, who's planted one church. This is Steve. He's a contractor, but every village he goes to build a house in, he also plants a church. Six churches so far. This is Naila. He's my age, 57. He's planted 10 churches. Isaiah planted this church. Here is Rachel, who's planted three churches at 3 months old. Obviously, that's a little joke. She's just so sweet. I had to show a picture of her. Here are eight generations of believers in a two-year-old church. So the woman whose back is facing you with the pink hair piece, she brought to Jesus the woman next to her, who brought the man next to her, who brought the guy next to him, all the way down to eight generations in less than 2 years. This is Shidanke's wife, Santa Johnson. She's leading a DBS. Everyone in this DBS has planted multiple churches. Maria has planted one church. The university campus pastors over 17 different universities have planted five churches. This is Isa. He's a former Muslim sheikh. He's planted 9 churches. His story is phenomenal. When he lost his eyesight, his village assumed that he had done something to offend Allah, so they distanced themselves from him. He had nobody to take care of him until some Christians came along and adopted him into their home. Eventually, he came to fall in love with Jesus. But now that he was a Christian, what could he do? He couldn't read. He's never read a Bible. He couldn't do a job. He was blind. So he went out and sat under a tree and began to pray to God. And as he prayed, people would come to him and miracles would happen. Soon, a church started around him. He thought, that's so easy. I'll do it again. So he paid a guy a couple of dollars, got on the back of a little motorcycle, told the guy, take me to as far as you can take me on $2. And he got off the motorcycle, went and sat under a tree, started praying, planted his second church merely by praying. 9 times he had done this when I saw him, and he told me he had 2 more churches he thought he could do that year alone. This is Edward. He's a national comedian with a national television program. He's planted 2 churches. This person of peace in this village has a 50-member congregation that followed him. This is a former drug addict who served much time in prison and has now planted 2 churches, including churches among former drug addicts. Maha here is blind but leads multiple DBSs and has been part of the planting of several churches. This is Kofi, who survived in a very terrible way. He survived the Civil War and the Ebola plague, but he's planted more churches and has more joy than anyone can number. This is Deborah, a medical doctor. She's planted 1 church. And when we got to the airport on our way out of Bo Sierra Leone, we showed up at the airport, and when we did, because so many of us look different from the local Sierra Leoneans, the head of security came up to find out who we are. When we told him we were there to inspect these church planters, he said, oh, I know who Shadonke Johnson is. He baptized me. This Musa, this guy who is the head of security for the international airport, took me on a private tour behind the scenes and introduced me to the other security members. He's planted a church among the security members, and they actually meet at the airport. And so each of these shares in common this vision that every ordinary person can make disciples, in fact, can plant churches. So God is doing all kinds of crazy things all over the world today, but one of the most amazing things that God is doing is what we're calling disciple-making movements, church planting movements, or now more generally called kingdom movements. I want to encourage you to investigate these disciple-making movements. In fact, I really want to encourage you and your church to get really serious about what disciple-making movements are all about. If Jesus' final command should be our first priority, and His final command is this, go make disciples of all nations. If that's to be our first priority, why not watch people who are doing it in such an astonishing way as these disciple-making movements are, learn from them, and if you're like North Boulevard, we just want to join them. We want to be part of what they're doing. You can contact us here at North Boulevard. We'll give you information about how we're participating. You might contact some of the leaders from Final Command Ministries. You can go online and find their ministry. New Generations Ministries or New Harvest Ministries. There are actually now quite a few organizations that will help local congregations here in North America engage in disciple-making movements that are literally changing the world. Jesus says, go make disciples. I want to do exactly what He says. We're dead serious about it, and praise God that He has entire movements that are carrying out the Great Commission.